You're wrong. So as I was moving the podium, Keith kind of motioned to just keep going. The roast has begun. I know it's not going to be a barbecue. I know that. It's fine. So I have some friends visiting. Yes, I have friends. It cost me a lot of money. And Brian, some of you met him and his wife Chris. They were here before. And Doug, I've known since high school. Brian and Rick since probably 1988, right thereabouts. So great friends. And you know the true definition of friendship. Now, I'm going to disclose something that Melda would probably just shake her head, but she's not here and she's not on Zoom. Her loss, my gain, and your loss. So I have a temporary tooth in because Melda just didn't want me to look too Nebraska redneck. So the dentist down in St. Francis, you know, it's a weird thing when you have to go through three states to get to the dentist. That's just a weird concept, and change time zones. And so I had this and I forgot it this morning. So as I'm walking into the door, I call Brian. I say, Brian, can you go into my bedroom, look on the nightstand next, and there is my tooth. Please bring it. And he just laughed and he brought it. So I will have to, that's a friend. Yes, thank you, Daniel. You know, and in some ways we'll be talking about friends. We're in Mark chapter 2. We finished Ephesians, so kind of a moment to think about things and celebrate. You know, even the last year of things that have gone on, some of you may still feel like there is nothing to celebrate. It was a disaster. You know, but as we dive into Mark chapter 2, the first 12 verses, to think of it this way. Now, I'm going to assume by the mere fact, except for my Lincoln friends or anybody else visiting from a big city, due to the fact that you live here in Ray, Colorado, means pretty much a couple of things. One thing, you hate crowds. Now, I don't know what the most crowded moment could be in Ray. I'm not sure. Ray days, yeah, we miss those. Yep. We might have to just move you back sometime at 10 times. Ray days. And I'm really bummed we missed the pig drop. You know, just things like that, you know, honestly. And being able to go to some of the sporting, just different things. But, you know, crowds or maybe circumstances or people we just don't want to deal with. You know, you make that trip. Melda and I have gone to Denver several times, been able to see our daughter and our husband, and that's been great. We didn't really need to do a Costco run, but we went in there. We maybe had two items, the lines at Costco. And I just looked. You have got to be kidding me. We're going to stand in one of these lines for two items. And in my gracious way, I told Mel to put those back. And she did, and we left Costco. Because we don't like lines. We don't like crowds. You need to go to some kind of amusement park. And saw a line, say Disneyland. You finally made it to some glorious vacation. Saw a line for two hours. Now some people would. Most people wouldn't say, nah, not doing it. My daughter hates crowds. You know where she went to college? In Tokyo. Temple, that doesn't make any sense. You don't know the American, she hates being embarrassed in loud noises. Like what were you thinking? And even when it comes out, you knew what you were getting. There should be no surprises. So here we are, and we think of these things, and we think of crowds, and we think of circumstances, and maybe even just people we don't want to deal with. That is not why Melda is in California. She is there for another sister's weekend because, God forbid, they could have postponed it until we got back to Nevada and made our life just a little simpler.
No.
You know, just life doesn't work that way. Life is not simple.
And so we come to
Mark chapter 2, And the first couple of verses after a few days, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word of God to them. We're going to stop there for a second. We'll be looking at the 12 verses. But, again, what a great problem to have, right? Wouldn't any church want to have that problem and it's so crowded? Sorry, folks, we don't have room. And we're kind of getting there. It's either a good thing of either a good job I've done or you're just excited to see me go. And I can live with that. That's fine. I have no feelings. But, you know, what a great problem for all churches to have to experience. Like, it was just so crowded, we almost didn't know what to do. We had to think about maybe a second service. And most people are like, oh, no, please. No, don't do that to us. You know? But think about it. And I don't know what the attendance here is here today. Keith will let us know. Thank you, Keith. Last week was a little low, wasn't it? Kind of weird, like, what happened? Whew, just took a dive. Still not bad, still not the lowest, but the week before was 121 with, I think, about 6 on Zoom. I always multiply that times 2 because there's, you know, some single folks that watch. There's a family, sometimes a 4. There's a couples that watch. So, you know, we probably had, about 131. That's a great attendance for us. But we're still not, every chair isn't filled. But to have that problem, to have that experience. Now, you know, you think about it. Great attendance. The big difference between comparing what was going on there and what's going on here. They did not call IPM. They had Jesus himself preaching. You got me. Sorry. No fair comparison between me and Jesus. You know, most days, most preaching, you know, yeah, they had Jesus preaching. Of course it's going to be crowded. You know? And yet, so we see what happens. In verse 3 says, some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by 4 of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus, we'll stop there just for a second. Verse 3, when you think about that, because it was so crowded, it forced them, and again, I hate this phrase, but I'm going to use it, to think outside of the box. To go, goodness gracious, what do we do? Oh, you know? And in thinking of that, again, they kind of had to think about, in a sense, outside resources. Hey, what other means can we use? I mean, it's kind of like even with COVID, right? Like, oh my goodness, we kind of changed our whole mindset for all churches throughout the world of how do we do ministry with COVID? How do we think outside of the box? How do we make things happen? How do we even do this? And obviously Zoom, praise God for Zoom and other avenues of being able to do that. And we still had to think about things. You know, it was like even the youth group, you know, poor trying to run this thing. Are we on or are we off? Are we on or are we off? You know, kind of thing, and trying to figure things out. And like, okay, we can't do the games, we can't do the food, but wow. You know, and you know who I learned this from a little bit? He probably doesn't even realize it, was Kurt Sehner. When I heard that, well, they're having basketball practice. Well, if they can have basketball practice, we can have Bible study. And we were having some Bible studies, but we can have it for the youth as well. We didn't just totally close the doors of the church. We didn't do that. The crowds in different circumstances forces us to think outside of the box and figure out, hey, here's the problem. What do we do? And their problem was this. Sorry. Was in verse 4, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they just went home. Now, I don't know if you're following along in your Bibles, but wouldn't that be the answer sometimes? Ugh, the crowds. I'm not standing in this line to get on this ride. I'm not standing in this line to buy 2 items in Costco. I'm not, whatever. I'm not going to school in Tokyo. I'm going to go to Concordia. Just seeing if you're listening. Your folks probably wouldn't have let you go to Tokyo, would they? Might be a little stretch, I mean, a little far. They had great pole vaulting over there. You would have been the tallest person. I'm just saying. Okay. All right. No fun unless you get a pick on people a little bit. But again, the crowds forced him. And what he tells them says, since they couldn't get him to Jesus, that's what they were trying to do. We want to get this person to Jesus. Get him connected with Jesus. Keep that in mind. And so they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was laying on. So here's what's going on. They could not get the paralytic connected with Jesus. And again, the easy response is, we'll try it another day. Let's go home. I'm not doing this. You know, the four stretcher carriers. What about the paralytic himself? You know, and then you just think about it, of what's going on. And we don't want to deal with this, but no, that's not what they do. They put a hole in the roof. Probably not even their home. Can you, again, imagine that? But again, the way things were built back then, they could do it, but it still take work. To put that hole in the roof and go, hey, here's how we're going to do it. Can you imagine being that paralytic? I mean, I'd rather be one of those stretcher carriers go, we're just going to lower you. We're up here, we're out of sight, we're out of mind, but we're going to lower you and interrupt Jesus preaching. I mean, it'd be bad enough to interrupt Billy Graham. It'd be a whole other kind of story to interrupt Jesus and his preaching. But that's what happens. You know, and they do it, and while we're doing it, what are we doing and what are we willing to do to get people connected with Jesus at the church, here, our community, globally? I would say to a certain degree, when we look at the past year, in some ways, we had some problems, right? Loss of a previous pastor, the gap that existed, and like, what do we do? And to reach outside sources, and maybe it was almost miracle status to a certain degree, and I'm sure there were many that said, IPM, Interim Pastor Ministries, we don't need that. We can do this ourselves. And yet you took that step of faith and reached out and said, what are our other resources? Is that the hole in the roof we need to put at this point in time so we can be where we're at today? And again, no matter what a church's decisions are, there's going to be doubting Thomases. I would guess that about 50% of my ideas when I was a youth pastor, even a Navy chaplain, even here, when I share them with Melda, she doesn't like to think of herself like that. She is kind of my doubting Thomas. But usually she'll ask it this way. Rather than sounding too doubtful, you know, was it a church split or a church plant? Right? It's kind of two different perspectives of things sometimes. And she would ask me and say, is that a Ray idea or a God idea? Oh, really, you had to go there? You had to ask that question? Hopefully it's a both and. But as we think about that and even think of some of the things that went on all the way back in the gap until contacting IPM, yeah, there's doubting Thomases. Probably still are. I don't know if that was right. You know? If that hole was necessary for the health of the church and to move forward. Problem number two, right? COVID. I mean, churches across the nation, it caused some, not so much division, I guess it's the same thing, but disunity of, you know, mask, no mask, vaccine, no vaccine, right? I mean, it just did. We couldn't avoid it. And it's like, how do we manage this? How do we do this? But look, we got through it. And here we are today. And there's things that we have to face, but we survived. You know, the attendance maintained pretty well and is back about what it was, about 130. Giving was up. I don't know, I think it's still up. I mean, that's pretty amazing. With so many at one time being on Zoom, I mean, easy to not get to just say, man, this is nice. You know, I can watch church and talk to God in pajamas. I don't need to get all dressed up. and come here, but obviously you miss out on the fellowship. But even from Zoom and so many different things, the attendance was good, the giving was up, ministries were continued. With all the Bible studies, the sugar group, the women's Bible study, the youth group, just different things. Wednesday night study. 3 baptisms last Sunday. I mean, last person I remember baptized was Reese baptizing Abby, and I think before that somebody mentioned a while back, maybe the end of 2018, maybe January of 2019, I think Owen and some other, whoever it was. It was like, that just shows there's life in the church. Awesome. That's a good thing. I hope you recognize that. And then the most important thing, we've actually gone back to having potlucks. Right? I remember, I think, when y'all clapped when he said, we're going to have a potluck when Curtis comes. Kind of thing. I mean, they were like, this is awesome. And just kind of an interesting thing, but it shows life in the church. Even in light of everything. And yet, what did it take? Did you catch that? Even in verse 3, it doesn't name him by name. It just says, hey, some men came bringing him a paralyzed man. It didn't even name them, but they made the effort. They dug an opening in the roof and lowered him in the mat with a paralytic on it. Remember, it's Jesus who's preaching. The paralyzed man is just at their mercy. Yeah, we're going to he can't do anything. We're going to just lower you down. No, let's wait. No, we can do this another time. Now we're going to lower you down. He's just at their mercy to do that. Right in the middle of Jesus preaching, and they interrupt him. And what was his response? Verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, he got really mad and ticked off and yelled at them and screamed and said, get out of here, Lord, take him back up. Now, I'm just checking your scriptures. It's not what it says, was it? But again, wouldn't that be some of our responses sometimes when all of a sudden, here's a ministry opportunity God is putting before us and we see it as an interruption rather than a ministry opportunity? That's even hard for pastors. I'm doing this. This is my study time. You better not call now. kind of thing or whatever it might be. Just different things. And yet that was not Jesus' response. What does he say? When Jesus saw their faith, and that's what it was, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Wow. So we see that. And we see what's going on. And you just think people would be shouting for joy, wouldn't you? But again, that's not the case. Verse 6 says, now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And honestly, it's a good question. Not a bad question, because it's a good question. They just had the wrong answer. Well, yes, it is Jesus, who's the same as God, and yes, he can forgive sins. It wasn't a bad question. And then immediately, verse 8, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or get up and take your mat and walk? Whoa. Yeah, again, isn't that an interesting question? And it's logically to say, well, in a sense, it's a lot harder to forgive sins, but no, physically and humanly, it's so much easier, because how can you prove that or not prove it? Your sins are forgiven. it's like when somebody tells you, well, God told me. You can't really refute that in a sense, unless it's something so bizarre and you go, well, no, I don't know, man, Scripture says this, But again, a personal testimony or some things you can't really deny, but when he says that, but honestly, a whole lot harder because it's a visible thing. He says, be healed, get up, take your mat and walk away. Whoa. That's the really harder thing, and yet, spiritually speaking, forgiving sins, because what it would take to be able to do that, to be the Son of God. But he understood and he knew why he was asking that question. Why are you thinking these things? Verse 10 says, "But I want you to know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of all of them. Can you imagine that? So this is what's going on. There will always be those doubting Thomases. When even it's an incredible act of faith in getting somebody connected with Jesus. Like, that's not the way to do it. We need to know that we should probably, as much as we're probably going to hate it, we should expect criticism. When we think out of the box and start talking about making holes in the roof of the church. Now, we don't have to do that real hard, because whenever it rains real hard or weird stuff happens, you know that, I think there's going to be a hole there pretty soon. You know. And yet, yeah, what does it take? I don't know if these guys would remember, but when I was in Lincoln as a youth pastor, and my job description was junior high and senior high, because they knew I did not have the mental capacity for adults. And I was okay with that. But we started kind of doing a outreach and trying to go, man, we need something for the college. You know, you got a lot of people sending their kids to the University of Nebraska for school, and, you know, we need to have something for them. I went downtown totally on my own, and down by the university, and there was this place, the Spaghetti Works, that was kind of in the basement. But up on the top floor was kind of a bar grill place. I don't even remember what the name of that was. But I did not know this guy from Adam. But I just walked into him. I said, hey, I'd like to start a college ministry Sunday mornings, and I assume you don't have nothing going on in this place on Sunday mornings. I was 100% correct. And I said, if you'd let me, I'd like to start a college ministry in here. And he says, you know, we work late Saturday nights. I don't want to get up. Here's a set of keys. And I said, we'll give you a letter of donation, whatever that might be worth, you know, kind of do it. We called it Thirst Quenchers. Kind of a cool thing. I wish I had incredible news to say that was, it was like blossomed and it was phenomenal. No, you know what? The parents of the junior high and senior highs were a little mad, because they're like, that is not in your job description. There was criticism. You know, like, and I understood that. But it was probably a little bit revolutionary for even the Free Church back in, like, at whatever year, 1989 maybe, you know, kind of thing, to say, we're going to start a college ministry basically in a bar. You know? Oh, I don't know about that. But it was kind of a cool thing. And it just, it, again, how do we reach people? We talked about this the other night in the holiness study of, you know, when Jesus says, hey, and he was asked, why do you hang out with sinners and tax collectors? Because they're cool, man. No, it's not the sick, it's not the healthy who need Jesus, it's the sick. And how do we do that? Individually, even corporately, or as friends, or a small group, whatever. You know, it doesn't mean, are we ready to put a hole in the roof of the church? Jesus' response, again, was knowing what they were thinking, and he asked them, again, what's easier to say this to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk and take your mat? And it was a rhetorical question. But to prove to you that I am who I say I am, I'm the Son of God, and I have the authority to forgive sins, and that was upsetting to them, obviously. Get up, take your mat, and walk home. And again, verse 12 tells us, as he said, he got up, he took his mat out in full view of all of them. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. So he got up. You know, at one point, maybe I see the world this way, being paralyzed. Not literally, but spiritually. But maybe First Christian was that way for a little bit, obviously. when Steve left, when there was a gap, and like, what are we going to do? I think you took the right steps. I think God has done some incredible things when we think about it. And we see that. And perhaps First Christian was a little paralyzed, and I hope there's been some healing with incredible opportunity to move forward. And maybe that hole in the roof initially was reaching out to IPM. I won't ask for a show of hands of hey, who doubted that? You know? But again, you know where you were, or maybe where you are still. I hope you can move beyond that. You know? And just see it and realize for us to see miracles, any kind, we must be willing to put a few holes in the roof. Dealing with a paralyzed world who needs Jesus. And paralyzed to the fact that you're all here. That's great. That's easy. But I wonder how many people just in the Ray community who are never willing or just ain't going to do it walk through the front doors or the back doors of the church. How do we reach them? They are paralyzed. I talked to a man the other day, and I'm not going to disclose who, and but it was just an interesting story. I would say the man was a Christian, but he's hurting very, very badly. He said to me, I hate my life. And he said, it's fortunate and it's a good thing I don't own a gun. I'm like, wow. And I hope to make contact with him again before I get out of here. And maybe hook him up with somebody. But you talk about a world that is hurting. It's just the world we live in. And to be able to be sensitive and understand that and say, what does it take? We're dealing with a world that is paralyzed. What holes in the roof are we willing to make? And yet, the end result was incredible, wasn't it? And he says, they were all amazed. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. You know, what we've seen over the last year and where we're at today, is it really a miracle? Yes and no. But hopefully we've seen God at work. And what we have in our attendance, in our giving, in our ministries, in our baptisms, and other things that some of you are doing that others don't even know anything about, but it's ministry and reaching people, reaching the lost. But everyone was amazed, and they are saying they've never seen anything like it. And again, it goes back to struggling with maybe the last year and a half and saying, wow, will we ever get over this hurdle? And I think we did. I think we have. And to be able to move forward and to be able to do that, I hope, as a church, we can see and be amazed of what God has done in the life of the church this past year after maybe what some would call a dark period, perhaps a bit paralyzed. I hope we can all praise God because maybe we've never experienced anything like this. I mean, I know you haven't. You've never reached out to IPM before, and you may never do it again. You know, hopefully you'll never have to. You know, I don't know, but you know. And again, I hope it was a good experience to go, yeah, man, I don't know, you know, and hope that we can praise God because we've never experienced anything like this, of the departure of Steve, IPM, COVID, and maybe other things and parts and things that are happening, and putting up with a crazy, loud pastor who moves around a lot, right, Harry? Yeah, now, Harry liked it when I was sick because I didn't move around as much. You know, one day Harry showed up with a hammer and a nail. Kind of worried me. He says, can I see that shoe for a minute? And, you know, but again, I've grown. Melda has, and I hope you have. Of seeing things, seeing a different pastor, a different style, and that's okay. not right or wrong. It's just different. I'm probably about as different as they come. You know, but to be able to see some things and understand some things and let us always be willing to put a hole in the roof to get people connected to Jesus, whatever that might be. I don't know. You know, my brain just kind of functions that way. We started a Bible study at our home in California, in Temecula, when we were there, and I was stationed at Camp Pendleton. Melda was working part-time at an antique store. And so I kind of had Saturdays free. I'd go up sometimes and do some work on sermons or whatever, you know, whatever needed to be done. But, you know, I kind of mosey out into town. It was a great town, kind of a western old front street that was kind of a lot of antique stores. And it's just a kind of a cool place, a lot of restaurants and stuff. And I just kind of mosey around. I'd take her lunch, you know, and again, I got to know people. And we tried to really get involved in a church or two, and it kind of just wasn't happening with ease. And we said, you know, God's given us a great home. Let's just open the door and start a Bible study, see what happens. Well, it was all a bunch of people that I met at a restaurant, basically, and hanging out and stuff. And everybody was divorced except me and Melda. And that was our Bible study. And I kind of looked at God and like, that was not exactly what we were thinking about. But it's what he was thinking about. And we're still great friends with several of them. One guy and a gal, they weren't dating or anything. They came over and visited us in Okinawa. You know, just establishing, keeping, just saying, hey, didn't need to put a hole in our roof because Melda would have probably got really upset. But it was opening that door and just say, God, look, what has God blessed us with and how can we use it for Jesus? To help get people connected to our Savior. And I hope that's what we're doing, willing to do. Next week we'll look a little bit more and kind of leaving the past behind and moving forward. We need to do that for the church's sake, for Curtis and his family. I love what I hear is going on and all the things, and that's great. As we prepare for communion, I'll have those who are helping to serve come on up. Oops.